answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
And right now, the Nonpartisan Government Accountability Office has revealed the ugly, ugly truth. They tested the ACA, and the ACA failed. The GAO created fake applicants. Get this. They created fake applicants using fictitious identities, missing documents, and questionable personal information. The system approved them all anyway. These imaginary enrollees received tens of thousands of taxpayer dollars month after month, even though they didn't exist. No verified identity, no proof of citizenship, no income documentation, nothing. Nothing at all.
And that is why and how fraud can run rampant if no one's really bothering to look at it and that could care less, turn away. Because they might be able to get someone to support them in a political campaign. That is New Jersey Congressman Jeff Van Drew saying, we ran a test, all fiction. We knew it was fiction, putting it down on the board, see how it would be accepted. Fake names, fake addresses, fake everyone. In fact, the people didn't even exist in applying for Obamacare. And they all got approved without any verification. And you are realizing, of course, the Obamacare plan has cost you a lot in health care. And then, of course, we have the fraud that's been documented in the Somalian region of Minnesota. I know it's still the state of Minnesota, but not for long the way it's been going with the refugees from Somalia coming in and ignoring laws, in fact, purposely breaking them. And defrauding Americans who need help. I've got a stat here in front of you that you will find absolutely amazing as to how bad. I take it back. Not amazing. It's shocking and it's shameful as to what's happening. I'll get it to that in a moment. Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors USA, December 11, 2025. Reminding you with Larry Connors USA, you do get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You leave each hour with more knowledge than you have as we begin. I promise you that. And also want to take a moment to remind you about our stocking stuffer promotion, help you fill stockings at your house for you or others. It's very easy. All you have to do is go to Newstalk STL and register. Very simple. If you don't register, you don't have a chance to win anything. Let me tell you that. That's right up front. But we got gift cards from Gulf Shores Restaurant and Grill, Small Cakes Cupery. And, of course, we got a lot of Newstalk STL merch we could pass around for you. And multiple gift cards from numerous sponsors. Havana 1961, Trolley Stop Bakery, Whistle Pig Outdoors. They're not just giving us one gift card. We're giving numerous. So you've got a lot of opportunities. But you can't win if you don't go to Newstalk STL and register. That's all you have to do. Then you sit back and you wait. Call me, call me, call me. And the grand prize. Don't forget about the grand prize you could win. Everyone registering is eligible for it. $500 gift certificate to Neustadter's Fine Jewelers. So make sure you register and then wait for Santa calling. So this fraud that's been taking place in Minnesota. Finally, someone's beginning to realize we could have put a stop to this if we'd just been vigilant. But they did not want to be vigilant. They didn't care. It's not their money. So be it. And in fact, it could buy votes in a way that, hey, if I can make sure you get some good health care and housing and everything, would that make you happy? Speaking of housing, Joe Biden's record-setting wave of mass migration, thank you very much, Joe Biden, for that. There's a new report from the Department of Housing and Urban Development, and looks at the worst-case housing needs. That's defined as Americans who are low income but do not receive government assistance or welfare and who pay more than half of their income for housing costs. Those are worst cases. And between 2021 and 2024, the foreign-born population of the U.S. increased by more than 6 million that we know of. And it ended up contributing to a significant increase in housing demand, driving up housing prices. And you know who was hurt the worst? The lowest income Americans. It was already tough for them. It just got tougher. Thank you, Joe Biden. And it's filled with fraud over and over. Every program under the Biden administration and the various blue cities and states. Yes, there might be some Republicans involved. If so, call them out. A fraud is a fraud. Well, Jazz Crockett, she's insisting, look, we just have to live with fraud. We're always going to have fraud with us, and we just got to accept it. Really? Come on.
I do want to make sure that I cover one other thing that the chairman spoke about. He specifically said that he's concerned about the fraud.
Yeah.
He's not giving us numbers, but I can give you some numbers. If we're concerned about how much money it may be costing us because systems are not perfect, we have no perfect systems. We have always had some level of fraud in anything that we have.
So we'll just accept it.
There's no such thing as perfection walking on this earth.
She's right about that. Perfection walking on the earth happened only one time. That's when Jesus walked the earth. But she just wants to accept, well, you just have to live with the fraud. No, you don't. No, you don't. Jasmine Crockett running for Senate in Texas saying, we'll just live with the fraud. That's okay. Well, let me share this with you from the American Center for Immigration Studies. They found that more than 8 in 10 households in Minnesota headed by Somali refugees, 8 in 10 are on one or more forms of American taxpayer-funded welfare. 8 in 10. I'll give you specifics. 81% of them headed by Somali refugees. 27% are on cash welfare. 54% on food stamps. 73% on Medicare. You look at the Native Americans in Minnesota. Yes, some of the Somalis might have become U.S. citizens in that time. Congresswoman Ilhan Omar being an example. But if you look at the Native-born Americans in Minnesota, only 21% are on one or more forms of welfare care. 6% on cash welfare, 7% food stamps, 18% on Medicaid. And of course, if you've got children in the home, the welfare numbers go even higher for the Somali residents. Nearly 80,000 residents of Somali ancestry are on welfare compared to zero that had Somali ancestry in 1990. Fraud creeps in, and it begins to spin its web and gradually pulling others in. But Native Minnesotan households, 3 in 10. 3 in 10 versus almost 9 in 10. 3 in 10 Minnesota households that are Native with children, they take one or more forms of welfare, 6% cash, 10% food stamps, 28% Medicare. Medicaid, I should say. Listen, if they need it, I want them to have it. That's why it's there. But Jazz Crockett and the left believe it's free for the taking. No, it ain't. It's not free for the taking. Carolyn Levitt points out just how bad this is.
I'll tell you what does not add to our nation's character and integrity is refugees who come here under the alleged plight of asylum and fleeing persecution and then come to the United States to abuse our system and rip off American taxpayers. And as I pointed out, the New York Times, to their credit, it was about 6 months too late, but they did write about how Somali immigrants in Minnesota have been ripping off American taxpayers.
Yeah, they finally got around to it. The New York Times finally said, look here. But as she said, it's 6 months too late, and really more than that. What suddenly interested the New York Times? Well, the heat got too much. They just couldn't ignore it anymore. In the meantime, the left continues to whip up a frenzy over the U.S. stopping an oil tanker.
sources tell CBS that the vessel seized is called the Skipper, sanctioned by the U.S. government in 2022. And Attorney General Pam Bondi, in a statement on social media, alleged that it was used to transport oil from Venezuela and Iran, saying for multiple years the oil tanker has been sanctioned by the U.S. due to involvement in illicit oil shipping networks supporting foreign terrorist organizations. Now, sources tell CBS News that the administration is potentially considering more similar missions, additional seizures. This once again ratchets up the tensions with Venezuela and the Maduro regime, already heightened because of the series of ongoing strikes on alleged boat strikes that we've seen. Now, Venezuela's government in a new statement said, quote, it strongly denounces and repudiates what it says constitutes shameless robbery and an act of international piracy.
Yeah, international piracy. Mike Pompeo, who served as the director of the CIA at one point under the Trump administration, said the Venezuelan narco state poses a clear threat to America's security and prosperity. And he said two decades of socialism had destroyed that once wealthy country and has become unstable and spreading crime across the Western Hemisphere. And after 4 years of appeasement under Joe Biden, thank you, Joe Biden, he says we cannot afford to ignore it anymore. He said, do you look at Biden's de facto open border policy? Thank you, Joe Biden, again. Brought hundreds of thousands of Venezuelan migrants to the U.S., including the notorious gangs. And in fact, Maduro even leveraged the migrant flow to extract concessions from the U.S., trying to secure his hold. Said, I'll try to hold more of them back if you give me more help here. He lies. He lies. Russian President Putin weighing in. He spoke by phone with Venezuelan dictator Maduro earlier today, reassuring him of Moscow's support. In the call, Putin apparently expressing support for the Maduro government in the face of growing external pressure. The Kremlin said Maduro and Putin discussed shared interests in advancing a strategic partnership agreement. Moscow long viewing Venezuela as a key partner in Latin America. So the Russians are lining up, as we would expect, behind Venezuela. But we also have many in Congress, mostly Democrats, but not all. Republican Rand Paul is also questioning the taking and seizing of that oil tanker. But Connecticut Senator Blumenthal says this could be leading us to war.
Clearly, this seizure of an oil tanker with Venezuelan oil, even if it is a tanker that has illegally shipped Iranian oil in the past, and therefore they've gotten a seizure warrant to take into custody, is still a significant escalation in the pressure campaign against Venezuela. So it is, again, a step toward possible conflict without any authorization from Congress. The idea that there is armed conflict here and it justifies either seizing the tanker or going against the boats in the Caribbean that they've been striking, 23 of them, killing more than 80 people, is really one that cries out for scrutiny. And that's why I've called for a subpoena of all the records.
All perfect.
Documents, videos, and after-action reports, because what we're seeing here is a cover-up. The lack of full transparency is deeply troubling.
Did you get full transparency? Riddle me this. Did you get full transparency when Obama was in office using drones to hit targets in Somalia and Yemen? And in one case, killing an American who was in the area. Did you get any? Oh, that's right, you did. My bad. I was sure you got full transparency with Obama. As you did with Biden. I lie, you didn't get any transparency with Biden. But the left continues to run to their nearest leftist legacy media saying, put me on, because I can tell you more. I can tell you more. And in fact, Arizona Senator Gallego on CNN, and of course he gets a softball question, which is set up perfect.
Congressman, I want to ask you about that controversial second strike and the question of whether the Pentagon should release footage of that second strike on the alleged drug boat on September 2nd. Do you think the American people need to see it, and why?
I think the American people do need to see it. We used the prestige of the American military, our reputation, to kill these men. Someone ordered these men to be murdered, and the American public should see it for themselves to make a determination. Is this the way that we want to conduct ourselves as a country? Because if this is what we're doing to men that have surrendered, and let's give that maybe they were drug dealers, we don't execute people in the United States for being drug dealers. Why are we destroying and killing these men that are actually giving themselves up after waiting in the water for 45 minutes?
And we don't know that they were simply looking to be picked up as survivors, or if they were trying to get the cargo back and keep moving. I will admit, we don't know. We haven't seen the video. And I might change my mind there. That second tap on that boat, though they want to drill that down, that was beyond the pale. You can't hit a boat trying to destroy the cargo and kill the crew members. And if you fail, you can come back and try it again. Yes, you can. But he would have you believe that, yeah, we don't execute drug dealers in this country unless they've reached beyond a federal law. That's true. But the intent was to go back and destroy the boat and the cargo, make sure it was down and out. And if those guys were still around and hanging onto the edge of it, that, what, I wouldn't say collateral damage, they'd put themselves in that spot. We have so many of the leftists coming out trying to paint this picture that Trump is murdering other citizens. He's not murdering. They're carrying out an act, not a war, but enforcement. We made it very clear you're not going to be allowed to bring that stuff into our country and poison our nation. Anyone that's lost a child or a relative to the fentanyl and other drugs brought in, are you crying for those in the water? One thing the left is trying its best to ignore. I mean, they will look every way except down this road. What Trump has done to actually improve our economy and American lives. They don't want to see it. They don't want to acknowledge it. They just want to blah, blah, blah. I cover my ears. I'm not listening to you. Well, they might do that. And they get away with it on the legacy media. But not here. We're going to put it right in front of you. In fact, I'm going to give you some prime examples when we continue where Trump is definitely helping Americans. You don't want to know about it? Tough luck. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to tell you more about Wellington Environmental's dustless blasting services. Wellington can blast paint, grease, graffiti, even stripes off parking lots. Truly amazing and powerful. But can Wellington blast something more sensitive? Yes, Wellington can use dry ice to blast soot and odors off smoke-damaged surfaces right after a fire. Currently, Wellington uses dry ice to clean mold off wood inside a home. Why? Well, dry ice immediately disappears, turns into a vapor. That means no mess to clean up, no damaged surfaces. You need to check with Wellington, always researching and practicing with new, better, faster, safer equipment and products for you. And it's very easy to schedule an estimator for your next project. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check vincentsjewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. vincentsjewelers.com. vincentsjewelers.com. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL.
All my friends know the lowrider. The lowrider is a little higher.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All of the indicators are that the 3% growth that we gave you last time is a really, really low ball estimate of what we're going to be able to deliver, because we've got the AI boom making productivity go through the roof. We've got 18 trillion in new factories being built. We're actually tracking the groundbreakings. Mm-hmm. We're up to about 30 of them since September. And so the economy is booming. Jobs are growing. But people were absolutely harmed. And so again, the president went through every single price of everything in the charts, and he did a lot of it last night. You know, the bottom line is that if you were just a typical family, your month's groceries cost $400 when President Trump left office, and it cost almost $550 when Joe Biden left office. So that extra $150 a month, after paying also $14,000 more a year for your mortgage, it really adds up to a lot of stuff that has to be fixed.
Yeah.
Final thing on this is that real wages are growing again.
That's right.
And so purchasing power is up. It was down about $3,000 on average, not counting the house part, for Biden, and it's already up about $1,200.
That is Kevin Hassett, the director of the National Economic Council, pointing out what is going great in the nation under the Trump administration. Well, that's countering everything I see from Politico and The Hill, and them saying that the White House and its efforts and its strategy are crumbling before our very eyes. There are obviously some Americans that could use more money, and things are a little pricey for them still. But Trump is doing everything he can to pull it back. And that example he pointed out, what happened with your groceries. When Trump left office the first time, let's say your monthly groceries cost $400. When Joe Biden left office, thank you, Joe Biden, that $400 is now $550. And now we're back into the range where it was before, trying to get there. And gas prices, when Trump left office, they were $3 or under in many places. Under Joe Biden, they hit a high of $7. Now you tell me, riddle me this, which is the biggest number, $3 or $7? Which one do you want to pay, $3 or $7, huh? Issue resolved, not really. But it points out the fallacy in their arguments. They like to knock things around just because they think they can get away with it, but they can't. And in particular, on the gas prices, this is where even CNN has to acknowledge Trump is winning.
Look at this, a fresh 4.5 year low, 3.5 year low of $2.95 a gallon as of today. That is miles away from the all-time high set back in 2022 under former President Biden, above $5 a gallon. And it is lower, although only a little bit lower, than at this point last year.
Yeah. When CNN has to look you in the face and say, oh, it's a lot lower and it's getting lower. I'm sure someone behind the CNN Ann curtain was saying, can we ignore that story? And they do the best they can. But you're the truth teller. You go to the pump, you grab that handle, you stick it into the nozzle of your car, and you're trying to figure out, whoa, look at that price. I can really fill up. I know there are a lot of folks that have to buy limited amounts of fuel because they've got to use the money elsewhere. So they go in $10 only. And whatever the price is, I'll just have to live with it. Or then again, I'll have to maybe throw in an extra buck or two. There are people that have to worry about that on a daily basis, and I feel for them. Others, for the most of us, if we hear from a friend that a station a couple of miles away is charging 15 cents less a gallon, you might go to the effort to go do that. But otherwise, it's figure out what you'd spend getting there and everything else. It's out of your way. You'll just take what you have nearby. You remember the days where you would see gas station wars on a corner? You'd pull up to a corner, there'd be a station on every corner, and they'd had the big signs up there, and one station would go up and put up a sign lowering the price. This is when they had to go out, climb the ladder, or at least use the big letters and put them in place. Then somebody had to go back and take the letters down, the numbers down, and put numbers up. And the other stations are watching, and then they run out and get theirs. Now it's all digital, so they don't have to do it, and it's a lot easier. It was $3.40. It's very simple, a digital key, pop, pop. It's only $3.18. Well, that'd be great, that kind of drop. And the stations would compete trying to pull cars in, and drivers would be at the intersection. If I wait here another minute, will one of the other stations lowball the other station? Yeah, they could. Gas prices, grocery prices, those are your everyday items. And those are the things often kept out of inflation numbers. They talk about the core inflation rate, which does not deal with things like groceries and gas. And then you come to the issue with the interest rates. White House Deputy Chief of Staff James Blair.
Well, look, I think all of our economic advisors have made very clear that they believe that there is room for more. The president has made no secret of saying that Jerome Powell was too late to raise the rates originally under Joe Biden and actually tame inflation when it was racing. Remember, he called inflation transitory. They said inflation wasn't a problem. Of course, it was a problem. They let it become the highest inflation we've had in this country ever, minimum the last 40 years. And then obviously he's again too late to lower the rates. So the president's made very clear that he wants lower interest rates. He wants people to have access to capital so they can buy their cars, they can buy their homes, we can get the economy moving. This is really just a result of, you know, them moving too slowly around there. They've missed the forest through the trees the whole time. And again, today's, I think, an example of that. But hopefully we'll get new leadership and we'll be able to move quickly.
Yeah, it would be great. White House Deputy Chief of Staff James Blair pointing out that Trump wants lower interest rates so people have capital and able to spend the money where they want and won't have to pay all these interest rates. It will help them. It may or may not affect your credit card. It should. But too many times credit card companies want to be the last to drop off rates, interest rates, payments. But when it comes to mortgage, car buying, and everything, that could change. That could be a game changer. And this number coming out today from the Commerce Department, the U.S. trade deficit shrinking dramatically in September, falling 10.9% to $52 billion. And they credit Trump's sweeping tariff policies, reshaping trade. That, again, from the Commerce Department. They say in inflation-adjusted terms, the trade picture improved as well. The September figures mark a significant turnaround from August. The administration is happy with it, and the American people are happy with it. The U.S. exports jumping 3% to $289 billion. I thought the whole world and the sky was going to be falling in with these tariffs. Jumping 3% to $289 billion, the highest level in months. Imports rising 0.6% to $342 billion. All of this is good for the American economy, a good for Americans. And it's good for the illegals in the country. And then you have countries or other companies that are jeopardizing you on a daily basis, and they don't see any issue. Of course, perfect example, Microsoft. it announced back in July it was going to lay off 9,000 American workers. And it was turning to increasing its number of H-1B visa hires. And now Microsoft announcing plans to invest $17 billion over the next 4 years into... Hold your... No. It's not going to the USA. They're investing $17 billion in India. And they continue laying off Americans. And in the meantime, cozying up to the Chinese government. So the Microsoft CEO met with the Indian Prime Minister Modi in New Delhi, December 9, discussing the company's investment plans. It's expected to boost India's digital infrastructure and contribute to that country's economic growth and reassure and underscore the importance of India as a key market for global technology companies. What about the USA? You're not going to get a clear answer from them. You're wasting your breath to even ask the question. Well, by the way, a European Commission chief says, I got a way for us to reduce illegal entries across Europe. Here's what we would do. We will open up more open, safe pathways, legal pathways, to let them come in. We want people to come in with talent and get them in place. We'll create a talent pool. A gateway office in India, facilitating more migrants from the subcontinent. So they're going to bring more migrants into the European Union when they're already strapped and they're overrun by refugees from Muslim countries, sucking up every dollar and health care plan they can for across the European Union. And I've told you, all we have to do, and we should watch on a continuous basis what happens in Europe. That is a prediction of what will happen here. We do not want to see our nation, our culture, thrown out by illegals or even refugee models coming into our nation. In the meantime, the pushback against Maduro, trying to get him out of office. There's a new fly in the ointment. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
We welcome Tom Shaw Realtors, selling, buying, leasing property all over Missouri, almost 100 years. Call Tom, 314-283-5064, shawrealtors.com. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts, windows icing up again, utility costs surging, you're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best, America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service. I just checked the events planned at Lit Cigar Lounge, so I'm planning a lot of time there. Top-of-the-line cigars, premium whiskey. Check out litstl.com and join me. Hey, and if we get hungry, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, just a few doors down. We can order from the menu, be at our table within minutes. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley and Lit Cigar Lounge, litstl.com.
This is News Talk STL.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I think it likely is about that. I know the Trump administration has been talking about all this pressure as a sort of counter-narcotics campaign, but you're constantly seeing statements off record by administration officials saying Maduro's days are numbered, he's only leaving office a couple of ways, he better take off now, etc. So I do think that that's the goal. I think that's the goal Secretary of State Marco Rubio is very intensely pursuing here. Now, is it working? We don't know yet, honestly, is the unsatisfying answer. It's the regime politics in Venezuela is very opaque. Nicolas Maduro governs the country really with a large number of generals. And the hope is that one of those generals will see the sign of the tide turning here, turn on Maduro and force him to flee the country or arrest him. Honestly, unfortunately, my forecast is pretty pessimistic. This is a regime that knows how to control its own military. The military is infiltrated by spies. Military members who've tried to turn on Maduro before have been tortured. Their families have been kidnapped and disappeared. So I'd imagine that the levels of fear and paranoia are just so great that you're going to have very few high-ranking military members who would take that risk.
Would you do that if you were a high-ranking member of the Maduro government? Would you dare step into the dark and try to sneak word out about what's happening in his gathering, his government, and even turn in some those who were trying to make it worse? Would you dare do that? If you dared for yourself, what about your family? You have to keep that in mind. And those living under Maduro, they fear on a constant basis. You were listening then to Will Smith. He's with the Council for Foreign Relations, talking about the U.S. trying to oust Maduro. And yeah, we want to, but of course, there's only a limit. Trump dropped word the other day that there might be a day that we would send ground troops. No, that I would draw a line on. I don't want American boots on the ground in Venezuela. And again, we're not interested in ousting Maduro for nation building. We're trying to get rid of a dictator inside our hemisphere and a dictator that continues to help our enemies, Russia and China and Iran and Cuba. That boat got seized the other day. Reportedly something that's one of 18 vessels that they watched come out of Venezuela. And six of the vessels were under sanction. The one that they seized carrying 1.8 million barrels to Cuba. Once in Cuba, who knows where it's going to go? More than likely Iran, China, whatever else. It is, again, violating the sanctions. You have to continue a pressure campaign against Maduro, but is it going to be enough? Well, could it also lead to some success? Again, Will Freeman says, I don't think it's working at this point.
It hasn't come with maximum economic pressure. Right now, the Trump administration has continued a Biden-era license that allows Chevron, the U.S. oil company, to drill in Venezuela. And Chevron's pumping about a third of the oil we see pumped every day in the country. Now, could Trump escalate there? It's possible, but there are some pretty strong oil industry interests that want normality here, that want a continued relationship with Nicolas Maduro. So we haven't seen him take that step yet. It's also possible that full pressure economic sanctions, really cutting off the oil supply, could increase out migration. And we know that that's another concern for this administration. They don't want that. I think we'll see. But again, I think unless we're willing to put U.S. boots on the ground, I don't see a transition to an opposition-led government in Venezuela, full stop. Unfortunately, I think we have the dictator Maduro remaining in power, continuing his very oppressive rule. And ultimately, I mean, I think the Trump administration will come to some kind of deal with him and call it success.
And that might be possible, but on the horizon, here comes Putin. He's entering the fray, especially after the seizure of that oil tanker. Putin spoke by phone with the Venezuelan dictator earlier today, reassuring him, the Kremlin has your back. Putin expressing support for Maduro's government in the face of growing external pressure. Trump is pushing to get Maduro removed by whatever means and increasing military activity in the Caribbean. But again, not looking to invade Venezuela and certainly not put boots on the ground. At least that's my take at this point. If it escalates to boots on the ground, that's where I will have to break from Trump. I don't want any American troops on the ground in Venezuela. We can carry out actions in other ways. He's already starved his people numerous times. He doesn't really care about their welfare. I'll tell you this. If you get to go to the palace with Maduro, you'll dine and you'll wine and you'll be happy and gay. And you'll just enjoy everything. Well, people just a mile or two from you are probably starving. They don't care. Neither does Putin. The Trump administration today did impose new sanctions on three nephews of Maduro. These new sanctions announced by Treasury Secretary Bessent are the latest aspect of increasing the pressure. Bessent, in a written statement, stated Nicolas Maduro and his criminal associates in Venezuela are flooding the U.S. with drugs that are poisoning the American people. Of course, this comes one day after we seize that Venezuelan crude oil on the cargo ship, the oil tanker, I should say, Skipper. Now, three of the individuals sanctioned today have been on our radar for some time. They are nephews of Maduro's wife. They're known as narco nephews. Arrested in Haiti, convicted in the U.S. in 2016, cocaine trafficking. Biden, thank you, Joe Biden, granted them clemency in October 2022 in a prisoner swap talk in a deal with Maduro, but Maduro didn't live up to his end of the deal. A third nephew is tied to Venezuela's state-owned oil company and was sanctioned by the Treasury in 2017. He was removed from the sanctions list by, thank you, Joe Biden. You could see that coming, couldn't you? And four of those newly sanctioned individuals include sons of Maduro's wife. It's good to be king. Good to be dictator. For now. You heard mention about Chevron operating in Venezuela. Chevron maintains its presence. It's in a partnership with others working in Venezuela, some operated directly by the Venezuelan government. Chevron is operating under restrictions, applicable laws implied by the U.S. and all the sanctions of the U.S. The CEO insists that we're doing a great deal for the local economy and regional stability. And that might be true to the extent that Chevron is helping provide food and money for the people if they are actually getting it. Chevron says it takes a long view, having stayed in the country as other Western firms left after nationalization started. Nationalization, the government, the dictatorship, they just walk into your office one day and say, you're now ours, and you do what we tell you to do, and we'll take everything and every dollar that comes in. You don't like it? Stand against a wall. You want a blindfold? You don't need it. Chevron obviously says it wants to stay, but it has to work, obviously, to make sure it's in compliance with U.S. government restrictions at this point. It's not hiding. We know they're there. Trump knows they're there, obviously. The Chevron operations account for a significant portion of Venezuela's total oil output, according to the New York Times. But taking Chevron out of there would not change that picture. Someone else would step in. And if you start to trying to take it over and micromanage from the U.S. of what Chevron is doing, make no mistake about it. Maduro will heavy fist it. He will take control without any additional talks. In the meantime, Maduro continues to insist that seizure of our sanctioned oil tanker is an act of international piracy. Well, I'd say that you're responsible for international death, helping provide cocaine and other drugs and taking your oil money and sending it also to terrorists across the world. The Department of Homeland Security noted for multiple years that oil tanker that they did seize the other day, the Skipper, with about 1.8 million barrels of oil on board. The State Department, or rather the Department of Homeland Security, said for multiple years this oil tanker has been sanctioned by the U.S. due to its involvement in an illicit oil shipping network supporting foreign terrorist organizations. I don't know why we let it run this long. Once Trump came into office, we should have shut it down then. But we have now. This is not a shot across the bow. It's very clear to them. We're going to knock your cocaine boats out of the water, and we're going to stop your tankers. At what point do you want to yell uncle and say, well, we will try to be nicer citizens in the world? They're not going to. Not until they're held down. Riddle me this. If CNN claims it's always doing good journalism and always open to show that we're not biased, we're doing real journalism here now. Every time they try to make that claim, it blows up in their face. Perfect example here. White House spokesman Stephen Miller is willing to go on air on any program to do an interview. And CNN, here's their example, clear bias, Miller.
So over the last few days, our brilliant White House communications shop has reached out to CNN, which, of course, is running one fake news hit piece after another. And they said Stephen Miller would like to come on your network to rebut any of these lies. And they asked what show. They said Stephen Miller will do any show from dawn to dusk. They said what topic? The White House said Stephen is available to discuss any topic with any host at any time. As far as you're concerned, Stephen has no scheduling conflicts at all. He will make himself available from the first hour of air to the last hour of air on any subject. And you know what CNN's response was? We will not take him, period, for any show on any topic. That is completely true.
I mean, when the guy says, if you have a member of the White House staff wanting to come on your network, you will make room for him. Well, you should make room, but they're not going to make room for him. Because they know he lamb-blasts them so hard they can't get around. They can't keep up with his mind as he charges into them. So the best thing is just silence him. That's censorship. It's a member of the White House staff, an important member, willing to come on your network and discuss any subject, any time of the day. And you would turn your back on that offer? Would you have done it if it was someone from, I'm wasting my breath of this question in your mind cells. But I'll go ahead and finish it. If it were someone from the Biden administration that made that offer, oh my God, they'd be sending a special SUV over filled with extra coffee and cakes to get them to the studio and make sure, are you comfortable here? We will make sure you're comfortable. And then open the door for anyone. There's something that happened today involving a Mississippi Democrat, top Homeland Security Democrat. He made a remark. He's on the House Homeland Security Committee. If you recall, on Thanksgiving Eve, we had two National Guard troopers shot in D.C., one killed. They were targeted. Well, here comes Congressman Benny Thompson of Mississippi. And he was already sparring with FBI Operations Director and Homeland Security Director Kristi Noem about what they're doing and not doing. And he told Kristi Noem, Madam Secretary, you reference the unfortunate accident that occurred with the National Guardsman being killed. That was not an accident. The man with the revolver went to shoot and kill National Guardsmen. In the face, in the head, whatever he could do. And he did. He killed a young woman serving in the National Guard. And another one is clinging to life at last report. That is not an accident. Oh, my gun fired. I don't know what kind it was. I've heard it was a revolver. You don't fire it more than once by accident. You might fire it by accident once you're waving around, you got your hand on the trigger. But it's not going to fire again unless you pull the trigger again. Semi-automatics? Oh, well, a couple shots get off real fast. You don't know. But for a U.S. sitting congressman to say that was an accident that led to the death of that young woman and leave another member of our National Guard injured, severely injured. Congressman, where do you come off with that kind of attitude? And you know why he does it? Because he knows his constituency will buy into it. It was an accident. Secretary Noem shot back. You think that was an unfortunate accident? It was a terrorist attack. Thompson waved his hand to try to quiet her down and said, I'll get it straight. I'll get it straight. He never did. Thanks as always for listening. You don't want to miss our program tomorrow night, Friday night.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.